Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Oh, man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let me give you an encouragement. Why do we clap? Listen to this. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with the voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us and the glory of Jacob, whom he loves. So why do we clap? Because he subdues our enemies. So if he has subdued your enemies, let's give him a clap offering. Would you do that? Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ah, he's worthy. Amen. Amen. That's just a little encouragement. Well, we have an awesome honor and a privilege today to dedicate a little one. And so I'm asking the Blackwell family, if you guys just make your way up here. And you know the Lord, yeah. Oh, just a beautiful family. You may as well hand them over to me. Oh, yeah. Yep. How old is he?
He'll be 5 months.
5 months. Y'all just make your way to the center. Let me get his arm fixed. All right. This is Levi Graham Blackwell. Levi Graham Blackwell. Say hello to him today. Say hello. Levi. There's a song that says, Levi's coming. He's already here. Levi. Hey, Levi. Levi Graham. Isn't he beautiful? Handsome. Handsome little fella. You won't hold him? Oh, did you smile at Brenda? You're supposed to be smiling at me. Say hello to him. Isn't he precious? Yeah. This is your family, Levi. This is part of your family, your extended family. Yay. All right. No, hey, I see. You know, don't get too locked in on him. You're supposed to be looking at me. All right. Oh, isn't he just handsome little fella? Looks like his mama. And his daddy. His daddy's handsome, too. He really is. All right, who wants him? You want to take him? All right. Well, that's a big family. Hey, David, y'all doing good? My goodness, there's more. Babies. Little. Boy, they taking this thing, be fruitful and multiply real serious, right? Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, dedicating children is God, is us acknowledging God and his gift to us. Levi is a special gift to this family and a special gift to this extended family and this church. Children are a gift from the Lord and a reward from the mother's womb. So he's a reward. And you carried that reward for 9 months. Isn't that special? It really is. And Jesus was brought to the temple to be dedicated as well. But the Bible says that Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. As adults, we can learn from the children. And when we start pushing the little ones away because we think we've got more grown-up business to do, we're going to miss what God is doing. He says, let them come to me. Don't stop them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to people who are just like these children. And after that, he put his hands on the children, and loved them, blessed them. We have an awesome responsibility to take the gift that God's given us and to nurture it, take care of it, teach it, and to guide that gift, who is Him, and let Him become who God has created Him to become. Awesome responsibility, but it's a joy as well. So Shane and Holly, you're here today, and it's your intention as parents to present Levi Graham to the Lord today and pledge to bring him up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So if this is what you want to do, then please answer "we do" to the following promises. Do you receive Levi Graham with a grateful heart, recognizing he is the gift of God to you and your family? Do you commit to raise him in a God-honoring way? Do you commit to be parents of personal faith in Christ, recognizing that Levi is more likely to follow God's path by the model that he first observes in you? Okay. Do you commit to seeing God's destiny fulfilled in Levi? Do you desire to shape his godly destiny that will require time and commit as you walk with God before him? Do you commit to learn God's word yourself so that your heart will be in tune with the destiny that he has for Levi? Do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and Levi Graham to Jesus Christ? Grandparents, wave at me. Yeah, yay, that's good. Now the rest of the family, you got aunts, uncles, nieces, and everybody, right? Cousins and all that kind of stuff. For the grandparents, it says grandchildren in the scriptures, grandchildren are a crown for those of age. So here's another one of your, you got many crowns, but here's another one of your crowns. Grandchildren. They're your crown. And you have heard the commitments of the parents in dedicating Levi to God. They will need your help to succeed in their responsibility. So grandparents, do you and the rest of the family, do you commit to producing a righteous heritage for Levi Graham? We do. All right. Do you commit to producing, do you commit to assisting Levi with his walk with God? Do you commit to assisting Shane and Holly in their walk with God in raising Levi? Well, that's good. Do you commit to pray daily, give words of encouragement and strong support to them? All right, church family, this is your extended family, and this is one of your big extended families. But we're so glad to have this family with us. But they're not going to be able to do everything on their own. We're going to have these kids in Sunday school, in kids' church, and youth as they grow up. So we have a responsibility, and they'll be in the services with us. So we have a responsibility to support the family as well. So congregation, do you commit to assist the family in their responsibility with loving support, prayers, and words of encouragement as they raise Levi? Say it again. We do. Okay. Oh, wow. Wow. Let me at him. Father, he's yours. And you have given the gift of Levi Graham to this family. And Lord, they have accepted him. They've nurtured him already and cared for him and loved him. And now today we are committing him to you, desiring the fullness of your plan for his life to be implemented, to be done in a way that joy overflows his heart and his character looks just like Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, this is your child. He belongs to you. This is the Blackwell family's child that you've given. So we raise him up to you, and we ask you now, Lord, to watch over him, guard him, protect him, instruct him with your love, flood him with your love, and may he see you, find you, accept you at a very, very early age. And may his destiny be rich in who you are. And may his impact upon earth be one that will cause people to stand in awe of the presence of God in his life. And we ask you to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Are there any words that was given that needs to be given to this child?
Levi, as you were being blessed, I heard three words over you: standing, grace, and strength be yours in your life from the moment that you understand who God has created you to be.
Amen. Amen. Good word.
And this is just a piggyback on that because, you know, Jacob had a lot of sons, but Levi was the third son of Jacob and Leah. And your son's life is on purpose. You know that already. And so, kids, it's going to be really hard not to spoil that boy. But his life is on purpose, and you are his best teachers. And God loves that boy, and you are blessed. Levi, your life is on purpose, and we're excited to stand with you as you get started on what God has given you.
Amen. Amen. Good.
And I kind of think this goes with it, that I was just watching him in the video or in the screen, and I kept hearing strength and fullness of joy, and that he is a watchman on the wall. Mm. And he is God's, and he's trusting y'all.
Amen. Amen.
The Levites were worshipers, and I just kept hearing the Lord say, Levi is going to be a true worshiper, and he's going to praise me. You're going to be surprised at what this child does when he starts praising the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
This is a beautifully gorgeous family. I mean, I'm just enamored at all the little children and all the adults and grandma and grandpa. And I have two words: peace and wisdom. In Jesus' name.
Peace and wisdom. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's give God the honor and the glory and the praise for bringing life, new life. Well, I got another word on that about, you know, when he does things and he does it and he means to do it, and you can just tell him, you're on purpose. He's on purpose. He's not an accident, right? I know, Holly, well, you were shocked. You know, she was shocked. You know, but guess what? That's a wonderful, wonderful gift given to you. He's just so precious. Amen. Amen. Give the family an honor. Amen. Oh, all this beautiful family here. I tell you, they're just sweet as they can be. And they make some great barbecue. If you hadn't been there to Mountain View yet, you need to go. Look here. And how old is she?
She's 8 months.
8 months? My goodness gracious. How you doing, man? Good to see you. Here's the grandparents. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you. It's an honor to have you today. Amen. God bless you. Wonderful. How old is this one?
She's 8 weeks.
8 weeks? Oh, my goodness. You know, I may open a babysitting thing. just bring all them youngins my way. That's true. Oh, isn't God great? You know, it's a sign that life goes on. And we're supposed to celebrate life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your wonderful presence. Thank you today for your promises. And Lord, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you a little bit today concerning creating a biblical community. A few months ago, probably been a, I don't know, may have been a year ago, first of the year, maybe, I don't really know, but told you that one of the things, one word you need to remember, anybody remember it? Not one. I gave you one word to remember. You're going to need to remember this word. Oh, nope. What? What did it say, John? Together. That was the word I said. You need to remember this word. Together. Because you're going to need this word. Together. Everybody say together. Now, if I ever asked that question again, you would do me a favor by understanding and knowing what I said and make me feel a lot better that you remembered. No, I'm messing with you. Together. Everybody say together.
Together.
You know, we need to create a biblical community, and we need to do it on purpose, not thinking that it's going to happen by itself, because it's not going to happen by itself. But you need to understand that every person is created by God to have a desire to know and to be known. Every person created has a desire inside them that's God-given to know and to be known. Do you know we live in such a connected, listen to this, a connected generation. We're more connected generationally than we ever have been in our lives. Facebook, text, Instagram, tweet, what else? That, huh? Snapchat. I mean, we're more connected than we've ever been, and we have some of the most loneliest people. Because we're connected through all of this technical technology, this social stuff. And I don't even know why they call it social, because there's nothing social about it. You know, we have that, but we're created by God to be known and to know one another. And if we don't understand, I'm not against technology. I'm not against any of the things that I mentioned. I'm not against any of it. But sometimes, I mean, I was at a restaurant. It's been a few months ago, and there was a family, looked like about eight people. And they had a large table. And I happened to look up, and all eight people. Listen, all eight of them. And I looked and I said, that is amazing to me. And I said, well, they'll look up in just a moment. Mm-mm. I mean, all their heads were bowed. If they didn't have the phones, you would have swore they were praying. All their heads were bowed, all were looking down. They wouldn't talk, there was no connection between them at all. Why? We're losing our way sometimes in how we allow things to bring us what we think is what we need, but it's really not. We lose what we really need by grabbing hold of the things that everybody else says that we really need. And we become a society that is overwhelmed, overworked, and we just don't have time. We need to build community, and we need to do it on purpose. Everybody say, on purpose. We need to do it on purpose. You know, Jesus didn't say, I'll get with you on, you know, read about me in the newspaper. You can read about him in the book, but he says, I will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you. And we need to be a people that understands community and understands the need we have for community and what we need to do about it. We're going to be doing some things in the next couple of weeks that is going to reintroduce life groups. It's going to reintroduce small groups. As a church gets bigger, as we grow bigger, we need to grow smaller. As a church grows bigger, we need to grow smaller. We need to have these smaller venues that is going to be able to facilitate all the things that we need to be doing. Do you know there's 58 one another's, or 50, I think 58, 58 one another's in the Bible. And of those, you hardly are able, it's just difficult to do any of those. You can do some, any of those 58 in a setting this large. So we need the smaller settings. By the way, you need to understand too that when Jesus started his ministry, what's one of the first things that he did when he started his ministry? He developed a small group. Jesus was in a small group, picked out 12, right? And then out of that 12, there was three that he was real, you know, Peter, James, John, there was a real closeness with three of them. But he started the first small group ministry as far as ministry goes. You know, so it's, I really love relationships. But you know, you can come to church and never have a relationship. I'm telling you the truth. Well, who sits beside you? I don't know. Well, who sits in front of you? I don't know. I looks this way, looks that way, and I don't know. So we need to know. We have a need to know. We have a need to be known. And the Bible sets the example of what we're supposed to do concerning small groups. You know that the Bible says that they met in the temple courts and they met in their homes. So they did the larger congregation, as many as they could get in the court, in that area of the court, but they also met in their homes. Why? Because it was in the essence of small groups that you really get to know each other. And we're going to talk a little bit about that if we can get to it today. But you know how I know that we're not supposed to be loners? It's in the Bible. In Genesis, it says, God said, it's not good. This is so good. It's not good for man to be alone. And do you know that he spoke those words before the fall? Man has not fallen. Sin has not entered. Nothing. So in the process of that, man is perfect. The world is perfect. The relationship with God is perfect. He's intimate with God. And yet God chose to say to the man, it's not good for you to be alone. And then he formed woman out of his side, out of man's side. So when we become loners and when we sort of push away from groups, there's probably some reasons for that. You know, because we have fear. We're afraid of things. We're afraid of intimacy. We're afraid that they won't like what they see. We're afraid they won't like what we know or what we say. And then we fear the rejection. We fear this. We fear that. And we'll push away sometimes from getting into a small group. You know, Jesus called you a friend. He didn't say you were an acquaintance. Ever say, I'm not an acquaintance with Jesus. I'm his friend. And he's your friend. He's more than your friend, but he's your friend. And we need to be a people that are understanding that at the dawning of our very existence, we were made to not be alone. And we were created to have fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. And we're created to share life with other people. You know, I've run across families that said, now tell me about your family. I don't know. We're so many. I don't know how many we got and how many we are. And I said, well, what's some of their names? I don't know their names. And we're talking about family. You know, But this same person can tell you everything they are about Facebook, everything they are about all the technology, this thing, this thing, this thing. Why? Because their life is being poured into things and not poured into people. It's okay to know about things. It really is. But I can tell you one thing. If you have a lot of knowledge, will puff you up. If it's not a knowledge that's going to be able to help other people. Right? So we're going to be doing some things on purpose in the coming weeks. And we need everyone to participate. We need everyone to be involved. But when you begin to say, well, Pastor, I don't really, that's not really what I want to do. Well, it's how the Bible says we need to do it. It really is. And I'm going to share that with you. You know, one problem that the church has today as a whole, the church can give you a message. You can go to any church that you choose and you're going to get a message. That's true. You're going to get a message. Now, whether it's from God or not, you know, it depends on if they're really giving you what God wants or what their denomination wants or what that one man wants. You know, but you can get messages anywhere. But, you know, you can teach messages all day long and give messages all day long. But when we do not follow the methods that are included in the message, that's where the difficulty is hard. Because a lot of people have heard the church say things but not do them. A lot of people have heard the church say things but not do them. They forgot about the method. But why? Because they know the knowledge, but they're not walking out what they know. And we need to walk out what we know. And if we don't know, we need to be able to learn, and we need to be able to increase the knowledge that we have. But if you start pushing away, here's three things that will happen if you stay alone. You lose your perspective and your balance in your life. Well, how do I do that? Well, all your highs will be extremely high and all your lows will be extremely low. And then you will be so consumed and distracted by the things that only concern you if you're not connected with other people. That's the truth. The second thing, if you keep pushing back on this thing of connecting and being with other people, a small group, you will begin to fear intimacy, and we already mentioned that. You'll begin to fear intimacy, and you'll begin to lose the koinonia that we're supposed to have as we walk together. And you become afraid to share your life. I just remembered. The Holy Spirit just brought... Listen. The Holy Spirit just brought somebody to my mind. Just like that. And the reason he brought... And we're supposed to pray for her. She's in the hospital. She's having chest pains and chest complications. And it's Barbara Hutchins. So let's pray for her. She's in hospital in Shelby. They're going to be running tests. And I know she has some fear, and I know she has some things going on in her life and physically. So let's ask God. Follow the Holy Spirit when he speaks to you. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for Barbara. Thank you, God, that she's in a hospital that's looking after her, but you are the one who is the healer. And we ask you now in Jesus' name to flood that room with your presence in such a way that her body will begin to respond. Her body, everything about her heart, the flow of her blood, everything, Lord, her arteries, everything would be clear. And, Lord, that these chest pains and this pain that she's experiencing would cease. And she would be free of this, Lord, and she would come out with a testimony of how good you are. Raise her up, Lord. Comfort her. Take care of her. Watch over her. Lord, let her encounter who you are in the midst of that room. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I want you to go to Acts. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Another thing, if you still hang on to the thing that you don't need anybody, that you don't need to get in a closer group with each other, one of the things you'll become is more selfish and more self-centered. How many of you ever run into anybody that is all about them? Wave your hand at them. It was all about them. How many of you have ever been a person that was all about you? Yeah, well, yeah, we got some honest people here. I mean, we got some very honest people here. Acts chapter 2. You know that the church actually started, you know, with 120 people in the upper room at Pentecost. And but from that point to about 25 years, from that point and 25 years later, it is said that they had increased to 100,000 people in 25 years. So there's a quote. Let me see if I can find it. There's a quote that says this. Well, you know, what difference does it make? It's going to make a lot of difference. It did when those 12 got together, and the minus one, 11, then they added another one. But there's a quote that says this. Never doubt a small group of thoughtful, committed people. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed people can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has.
That's right.
It's the only thing that ever has changed the world. So we need to capture that. Did you find Acts? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they were continuing, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Now, I think one version talks about fear, but it's actually reverential respect. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Now, I want to stop right there, and I want you to understand, it didn't say that many were in a sense of awe because of the signs and wonders. It didn't say that. It said many people had a sense of, kept feeling a sense of awe, a sense of reverential respect. And then he added on, and the apostles were doing signs and wonders. Verse 44. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with all as anyone might have need. I'm going to stop right there. I want you to notice, you know, I've heard people explain, say, well, what you do here is sell everything you got, put it all together, and you just live in one commune. That is not what he's saying. That is not how it's written. That is not how it's written in the Greek. Here's what it says in the Greek. Now, there were those that believed and they were together, and they had all things in common. They had all, everybody said they had all things in common. You know what covenant is? Covenant is what I have is yours and what you have is mine concerning, you know, I'm here for you and you're here for me. I know of a situation that a family, where there were some children in the family that in the wintertime and they didn't have coats. They didn't have any winter coats. And they're having to stand and wait for the bus to come pick them up for school. And there were about four kids. Not one of them had a coat. There was this person that saw the need. This person didn't have the money to go and buy all of them coats. But what this person did was he had a musical instrument. It was a Gibson guitar, 12 string, I think. And he took the guitar, sold the guitar, and had enough money to go buy the coats for the kids. When you begin to see a need, had all things in common. What did that mean? That meant that the guitar, as precious as it was, as much as the person liked it, as much as the person enjoyed that classical guitar, it meant more to him to see coats on a child's back in cold weather. That's what you see. That's not giving up. That's not piling all you got up in one thing. He said, no, they had all things in common. Then he also said this. He said, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with all of them as anyone might have need. So when a need arose, they understood meeting that need meant more than having this possession. Are y'all getting it? But see, you only know about those real deep needs when you're in small groups, when you're together in a group, and you're able to share your life with one another, and you're able to do things with one another. He goes on and he says, and day by day, continuing in one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. See, that's the temple and house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. He kept adding, kept adding. The first message that was preached after Pentecost was done by Peter. Can anybody tell me after that message how many were added to the church that day? That day. Anybody know? Say it again. Say it one more time. There's nothing wrong with having 3,000. There's nothing wrong with having 20,000, 80,000, 60,000. Nothing wrong with it. God keeps on adding. God keeps on adding. But I'm going to tell you something. You cannot have just the mega church. Oh, you have to hear this. Cannot have just the mega church just that way without having the little ones. Some big churches that they want to be big and want to stay big, but when it comes to burying your family, when it comes to marrying, comes to doing funerals, comes to doing benevolence, it comes to doing counseling, you're on your own because they don't do it. Why is that? I'm too busy. We miss the mark. We can fill a venue, but we can't meet the needs. You know, God wants the needs to be met, and he wants to use us to meet the needs. Is that true? Yes. So just being big is not all what it's all about. Being big and staying little. Being big and staying little. It's past 12. Let me share this passage. Paul says over in 1 Corinthians, First Corinthians 12:14. For the body is not one member, but many. Say, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God, say now God. Now God has placed the members. Who placed the members? You know who placed you here? God did. Now God placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. And if we were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. We need to get this in us. We cannot look at somebody, I don't need you. We have no need of you. Or again, to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. Whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. Oh, that's so beautiful. That there should be no division. If I say no division, that there should be no division, no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for the other. Now, I'm talking to you about a message, but no method. See, we can talk about this all day long and have a message about it, but if we don't have a method to do it, we won't be doing it, and we'll just be rattling off, but they don't see us doing the things. The Bible says that the world will know that you're truly His disciples. The world that you live in will know that you are truly His disciples by what? By your love one for the other. That's when they're going to know. This one another thing that we need to get going. That's when they'll know. Same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individual members of it. Now, where are we headed, Pastor? We're headed to having methods to make sure that we stay little as we get big. We're going to have a need. If you look at your newsletter, it talks about life groups. Look at that. Look that over. Pray about it. But we're going to have some training that is coming up for people to lead life groups. Now, how big should one be? 4, 6, 8, 10. Now we're getting closer to where we're needed to make sure we stay small. You can have 20 people in a life group, but what you've got is a small church. You've lost the smallness of the group. So we're going to be doing things here. We're going to be introducing things here that is going to increase our ability to be small. And there's benefits. Don't have time to go into them. There's benefits and there's all. Listen, and I'm going to share them with you, but not today. There's benefits of all the things that we need. And we find them from the scriptures concerning being connected. Everybody say being connected. People need to know you, and you need to know other people. And that's the way of God. He never intended for you to walk alone. He never intended for you to be a loner, a lone ranger, or somebody that's just, I'm on my own. No, we're not on our own. Mm-mm. We need each other so much. And we need close friends. We need close friends that you can sit down. And we need that group that we can sit down and share our life, our joys, our pains, our difficulties, the tragedies, the things that we go through, so that you'll be able to help. That is the way Christianity is supposed to be. Christianity is not a service time. Christianity is not a day of the week. Christianity, I'm telling you, Christianity is not an address. It is not 724 Oakland Road. That is not Christianity. That's not church. That's where this building's located, that the church comes to. And we are the church. So, be praying about it. We need leaders. We need home group leaders, life group leaders. We need host homes that to meet in, where there's just a few people. We need to be able to establish this because, listen, it does not, Father's vineyard does not evolve around me. Amen. Nor your leadership. Father's vineyard evolves around him and him alone. So let's see what the method is that God has designed for us to move into, and let's follow him into it without giving reasons why we can't. Amen? Let's stand together. Glory. Father, we thank you so much for your word, the richness of who you are. And Lord, we don't want to be just a group of people that meet on Sundays. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this time. But we want to be a people that is connected with each other, that walks together in harmony and in love, knowing each other deeply. Lord, that we be able to worship together, pray together, learn together, share our testimonies, and help each other in practical ways. Give us the opportunity, give us the wisdom, give us the know-how to be able to orchestrate this throughout this church community. Lord, help us as we cry out to you. Help us by the power of the Holy Spirit, the direction of your word and Holy Spirit, Lord, that we will see the next things to do, that this house would be a house that is relationally connected to you and to one another, loving each other as you love us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. And we'll share the rest of the message later.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.